God will seek the lost and find them. In a letter to a Christian woman, Carl Jung wrote, "I admire you Christians, because when you see somebody hungry and thirsty, you see Jesus. When you visit somebody in prison or sick, you visit Jesus. Or when you welcome a stranger or clothe a naked person, you're in communication with Jesus. What I do not understand is that you do not see Jesus in your own poverty. Why do you see the poor only outside of yourselves? You seem incapable of seeing the poverty inside yourself. You seem to be denying that poverty. Why do you think you have to be better than others and do things for people when you yourself also have a brokenness inside you? And why can't you see Jesus hidden in your own brokenness? Why do you deny it?" I think that's a wonderful passage telling us about ourselves and something that perhaps we're not too comfortable with. And each of us here in this room, each of us comes up against our brokenness in certain situations. And we recognize it more easily at certain times than at others. For me, my brokenness comes very much to the fore when I confront the poor, when I confront injustice. I really feel my brokenness then, and my brokenness exhibits itself in anger, in helplessness. I want to be the Redeemer, the Messiah, and Romero keeps reminding us that we are not here to be Messiahs, we're just fellow pilgrims. So at this stage of our retreat, I'm inviting you to have a look at that brokenness, but not to feel bad about it. But as John of the Cross says, to see in it the fruit of God's love, to see in it the source of God's love, and the opportunity for God's love. And Jean Vanier says, in another little extract, "Not so long ago, one of our community leaders in Lash told me about his mother. He said that she was quite a young woman, but she had Alzheimer's disease. She had become very small and weak. She could not even brush her teeth anymore. He also told me that his father had always been quite a powerful man, very capable in industry, organization, and business. He tended to put more into organization and production than into relationships. When his wife became sick, he didn't want to put her in hospital. So he decided to keep her at home and look after her himself. This transformed him. This highly efficient, capable, powerful man had entered a world of attentiveness, of tenderness, of kindness, and of listening. In some mysterious way, this man was being healed by his wife." So how does healing come about? Because all of us want that. We all want to be whole. We all want healing. How does it come about? And Jesus' message is very powerful. And Jesus says, you want to be healed? I'll tell you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Speak well of those who speak evil of you. Pray for those who push you down and persecute you. In other words, don't allow people like this to enslave you. Maybe loving your enemy is somehow to enter into the path of healing, into the whole business of forgiveness and reconciliation. And not only for the other's sake, more for my own sake. maybe, just maybe, when I'm rejecting someone, it's saying something about my own brokenness, my own incapacity to love. And maybe I will be healed by those I reject. Jesus says, don't try to pick a speck of dust out of someone else's eye. Can't you see the log in your own? Take that out so that you can see clearly to take the speck out of the other. How quickly we are blinded by ourselves and about ourselves. How easily we are frightened of discovering who we are. But maybe, as we turn to those whom we reject, we will be healed. They are revealing something about our own weakness and brokenness. And if we put our hand in theirs, then maybe we begin our journey into healing. One of the things I notice as I go around our congregation would be the lines of division that there are in our congregation. And I'm sure those of us who have had experience moving around would notice that. Kevin Mullen now has been moving around a lot. And I'm sure that would have hit him as well. The brokenness and the pain and the hurt that our brothers carry. The divisions. And we are brothers. But it is there. And instead of keeping us down, maybe those are the means of allowing us to discover the richness of and variedness and variety of one another. And I look at the spirituality that divides us as a congregation. And that makes me sad. Sad that we can't even come together to talk about it without getting angry. I see the fact that the whole way of life is changing for us, affects some people more than others. The fact that our institutions are being handed over, some of us are destroyed by that. And I pray that we find healing so that we can be free to do what God is asking of us to do today. And the child abuse, how much that has broken us. And the anger and the guilt and the shame that we feel. And while we're all called to feel sorry, deep, deep sorrow for what has been done, we're also called to use it to move beyond. So there's so many areas of growth. Last year, when I was looking for a passage to put this into some sort of context, I was in Zambia and I asked Grigori, can you give me a good passage that shows reconciliation? And Grigori pointed out the passage that's on the page. And he gave a beautiful sharing on that with the whole group. And therefore, with apologies to Grigori, using part of that today. And you look at that passage, take that away for yourself. Look at that passage. And it was pointed out to me, as soon as they came ashore, they saw that there was some bread there and a charcoal fire with fish cooking on it. And I was told that the word for charcoal fire is the same word used when Peter was in the chief priest's house, walking himself around that fire. So the gospel writer is making a very definite connection between that incident and this one. And so Jesus is not glossing over what happened, but he wants to address it in a new way. And he turns to him then and says, because he knows there's that uncomfortableness between them, can't just forget it. Talk about it. Bring it out into the open. Let's talk about it. And he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And the word for love that is used over there, so the Greek scholars say. Same son of John, do you love me? Agapeo. Agapeo is that love that requires sacrifice, that requires something of myself, a dying to myself. Do you love me? And John says, Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. But Peter uses the word phileo, which is the love that we have for friends, deep friendship. Do you know I love you? Phileo. Doesn't use the other word. And Jesus asks him the second time, do you love me? Again he uses the word agapeo. And again Peter uses the word phileo. You know I love you. And then the beautiful thing happens. Jesus says to him the third time. And Peter thought, third time you're asking me that question. You might often that you come across something that Jesus says that hurts someone. In fact, I don't know if you come across it at all. But it does happen to Peter. But look at the word Jesus uses the third time. He says, do you love me? And he uses Peter's word, phileo. And Peter says, yes, I love you, phileo. So what happens? Jesus meets us where we are. He gives you a challenge in the beginning. Can you love me this way to give up your life? I love you as a deep friend. And he comes back to him the third time and says, okay, that's where you are. Do you love me as a deep friend? And he says, you know everything. You know I love you that way. So Jesus accepts Peter where he is, knowing that a time will come when Peter will give up his life for him, when the agapeo will become a reality. But it's the most beautiful, consoling thing for me to realize God loves me where I am, not where God wants me to be. Isn't that the most beautiful, encouraging thing for us? Brothers, if only we could understand that we are loved in this way as we are, we would thank God for our brokenness. Gladly, therefore, do I glory in my infirmity. And so, brothers, I ask you to go back into yourselves again for this whole session. It's all yours. Where do I experience brokenness in my life? You're not going to share that with anyone else, so be honest with yourselves. Where do you experience brokenness? Who are you rejecting? What are you rejecting? What overture are you rejecting? Notice with Jesus and Peter, there is no recrimination here. The only question is, do you love me? That's the only thing that matters. Do you love me? There's no why did you do that or nothing like that. Do you love me? It answers all the questions. If love is there, we can move on. And so I keep asking myself, am I growing in love? If love is the only important thing, that's all there is, brothers. Am I growing in love? Is my heart opening up to my world and to my God? The opposite should be shriveling. So stay with those questions. It's yourself. Stay with these questions. And you have the whole time from now till lunch. This evening, and each of the facilitators of the small groups will get these instructions typed out for you. This evening, the whole session, between from 4 to 5:30, is in the small group. And I'm going to ask you, invite you to three things. The first, when you go in there, you share what happened in your prayer. What happened when you were praying? What did you notice about yourself? What did you feel when you were praying? What was opening up for you as you prayed? And you've been doing that all these days. And that'll be the first part of it. The second part, you are invited to ask for a blessing on some area of your life. You, for example, you may feel that you want a blessing on the whole area of relationships. And you may say that you may deepen your relationships, your ability to relate with people. Or you may ask for a deeper understanding and appreciation of God's love. Or you may ask that for eyes that can see the plight of the poor, or hands that can reach out and touch people in their pain. So ask a blessing. And ask then which part of your body you want that blessing. It could be your hands, your eyes, your head, your mouth. And the person on your right will pray a blessing over that, over you. The person will have to make up that blessing. A very short one. Blessing you with the oil that will be provided. There will be a source of oil. And then the person will anoint that part of the body that you asked to be blessed. And that's not all. When everyone finishes, I'm inviting you on a sheet of paper that will be provided as a group to put down a symbol that the group agrees on that captures what that healing that you have just gone through, what that healing means for you. Either a drawing, you may just put down isolated words that people express, or you may get a text of scripture or a verse from somewhere that summarizes, that captures the spirit of what it was that you have experienced during that sharing session of yours. You have an hour and a half for the whole bit. You may not need the whole hour and a half. On the other hand, you might. But take it gently. Don't force anything to come through. God's Spirit is here. God's Spirit will act through you.